Gospel of the Good Shepherd. What more beloved image do we have of our Lord Jesus than the image of the shepherd who lovingly tends and feeds his lambs and sheep, who goes searching for lost sheep, who not only fights off the wolves that prey on his sheep, but is even willing to lay down his life for his sheep. The Good Shepherd who knows and cares for each one of his sheep individually, and whose sheep know him and follow him wherever he leads. It is truly a beautiful image, a comforting image, a strengthening image. And to a man who is called to stand in the place of Christ in the world, a priest like myself, it is in particular an inspiring image, especially a man who is called pastor, which is, of course, the Latin word for shepherd. And so while today is called Good Shepherd Sunday, the church also calls it the World Day for Prayer for Vocations. Vocations to the religious life, but especially vocations to the priesthood, as it holds out the image of the Good Shepherd and asks young men, are you called to follow in the footsteps of the Good Shepherd? As I said, this is an inspiring image to priests and those who are thinking about the priesthood. But it can also be an intimidating image. In today's gospel, Jesus points out that not all who tend the sheep are truly shepherds. Some, he says, are merely hired hands who only care about the pay and not so much about the sheep. Any priest who's honest with himself recognizes the temptations that exist to be more like the hired hand than like the good shepherd. Not that priests are in it for the money, because the money's pretty bad. Now, there have been times when that wasn't the case, when some men treated the priesthood as a very prosperous career opportunity. For example, in the Middle Ages, in the noble families, the first son would inherit the title of his noble father. The second son would serve in the army and maybe rise up to some high rank. And the third son would serve in the church, possibly rising up very quickly to become a bishop or an abbot and earn a very good living doing that. Today, this kind of thing kind of exists in some poorer countries where the standard of living is poor, and some see the priesthood as a way out of poverty, not so much to riches, but to security. And when it wasn't money or security, it was also often the other material perks that attracted men to the priesthood. Not so long ago, to be a priest was a position of great honor and prestige. To be the pastor of a parish this size meant you were a force in the community. People listened to you. You had political clout even. And people gave you all sorts of gifts, I must say. And even non-Catholics showed you deference. You walk into a room, and even the Protestants would stand up and call you father or even reverend. For the most part, all of those kind of perks are gone today. In fact, more and more the opposite is true. The priest is more and more disrespected. His peers make much more money. His friends he had in high school and college are having prosperous careers, and even his friends who are clergy in other religions make more money and have much more financial security. And in some places in the world, the priest is often the first target for martyrdom. Even among Catholics, he's looked down upon by many of who think that there must be something wrong with him because he wants to be a celibate or to go away and hide from the, as they say, the real world. And now, more and more, even little children who used to stand in awe of priests, and so many still do, thank God, but sadly, so many are being taught that priests are bigots and haters. But if a priest or would-be priest is honest with himself, he can still recognize that there are still lots of ways to gain favor and prestige and even some wealth. If he tries to entertain or he tells his people that what they want to hear, especially when he challenges church moral teachings, he can be very popular and he can receive many gifts from his parishioners. He can even make a very good living on the side, even more than he makes in the parish, by giving speeches and writing books and articles that deride the church and its teachings. So for every priest, he must decide and commit himself to one or the other model of the priesthood, to be like the good shepherd or to be like the hired hand. Mind you, hired hands can enjoy their work. They may even really like the sheep they take care of. And they may even like the shepherd, the good shepherd that they're working for. And so priests might really like the work of the priesthood, including and especially working with the people, but in the end, it comes down to what happens, as Jesus says in today's gospel, when the wolves come. Then what does he do? Does he run and leave the sheep to be eaten by the wolves, or does he take a stand and protect his sheep, even if it means he might suffer or even die? Does he run, or does he, from the beginning, lay down his life every day for his sheep? Is he a priest who is merely a hired hand? Or is he a priest trying to be a good shepherd? The same thing is essential to discerning a vocation, especially a vocation to the priesthood. Many young men will understandably get all caught up in asking themselves, what do I want to do? What will make me happy? But the real question should be, what does Jesus want me to do? What would make Jesus happy? Now, as I say that, you should know that in the end, what Jesus wants and what makes Jesus happy is what really will make all of us happy in the end. Because Jesus loves us much more than we love ourselves, and he knows us much better than we know ourselves. So if we follow his will, it will lead eventually to happiness. Because the thing is, we get confused about what will make us happy. Most of us, most of the time, we think that material things and human comforts are the things that make us happy. But we fail to recognize that our truest happiness lies in becoming the very best we can be, reaching our full potential, being the best that God created us to be. A person who is a good athlete really won't be happy unless they're able to exercise and at least use some of their athletic skills. A person who has artistic skills, God-given, won't be happy unless in some way they can express that. And a man who's created to be a priest will never be fully happy if he never becomes that. So a young man might look at marriage and a career or interesting work and money and say, that's what I really want. That's what I think would make me happy. And none of that is bad. But the question is, did God make you to be a hired hand or a shepherd? Did he create you so you could satisfy yourself or so that you could care for others? In short, did he create you to be selfish or to love? When we approach discernment that way, everything changes. For a priest, this perspective causes him not to focus on what will make him popular or comfortable in his parish, but what will be best for his people, his flock. For a young man discerning a call to the priesthood, this will cause him not to think about what will bring him satisfaction, but what will be best for those that God seeks to entrust to him. He asks essentially, do I love myself more, or do I love God and the church more? And if he's willing to do whatever God wants, to lay aside his concern for himself, then he will be open to becoming the man that God calls him to be. And that man may be a priest, or that man may be a layman, a married man, or a father. Because husbands and fathers also can approach their marriages and families like a hired hand, no? Seeking what pleasure they can get from their wives and children, and ignoring the hard parts of leading a family. You know, you don't discipline your kids because they get mad at you, and they're difficult to deal with when you discipline them. So, you just be their friend. That's not being a shepherd. That's not being concerned about what's best for them, but just what will make me happy right now. And I guarantee you, if a father does that, no one will be happy. And the family will fail, and they'll fall prey to the wolves, and they'll be scattered. So the key for all of us, young men and women, and old men and women, priests and religious brothers and sisters, the key to discerning what we should do in our lives is not first and foremost what makes you happy, but what would make God happy. What is God's will? Because whatever that is, in the end, that will in fact make you happy. Even if he calls you to be a teacher, an architect, a soldier, or a construction worker rather than a priest, or he calls you to be a father whose wife gets cancer, or whose children get caught up in the evils of the world, a husband who doesn't run away because he doesn't get paid enough for all these problems, but a father who stays and every day lays down his life for his sheep. Or if he calls you to be a priest, to do the same. Today on this Good Shepherd Sunday, we thank the Lord Jesus for being truly our Good Shepherd, for tending and feeding us, for seeking us out when we go astray and bringing us home, for knowing and loving each one of us so tenderly, for standing and fighting off the wolves and laying down his life for us on the cross. But let us also pray to him for our priests and bishops and our Pope, that they may always follow the way of the Good Shepherd and never fall to the temptations of the hired hand. And let us pray for vocations to the religious life and especially to the priesthood. May all of our young people make choices after careful and grace-filled discernment, not of what they want, but what God wants for them. That they not seek to be hired hands, but true shepherds in whatever path that Christ calls them. Praise be Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, now and forever.